Before Mike's lesson, we'll read two passages of Scripture from the Bible. The first passage will be taken from the book of Romans in chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. And the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The next passage will be 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And the Bible says here, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong."
I find it very comforting and humbling at the same time to be able to come before God's people. I would venture to say that in all of my years of preaching, whether people believe I can preach or not, this has been one of the most educational times in my life. Because in this, I've learned who God is just a little bit more. And I've also learned those who really don't know God. When we stop and we consider strength, and we think about the things that are written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, there is so much in those passages. There's a great deal of education in those passages. Even when you consider it in its context, which we will not, but from a principal perspective, God has left us some great information in the Old Covenant to teach us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us, to demonstrate to us that there is nothing new under the sun. And I know we are using the word unprecedented. And that may be true to a certain degree. But I would venture to say that the God of heaven, who knows all things from the beginning to the end, there's nothing unprecedented before him. And as long as we go to the Word of God, and as long as we keep studying the Word of God and asking God for wisdom, asking him for guidance, friends, we'll be those type of people that God has called us to be. I had 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 read for a few reasons. Because when we first started this journey of leaving the building and entering into our outside worship, I began this series of being strong, Ephesians 6. And it's interesting that I find myself coming full circle, where Paul says, "Watch." The word "watch" there literally means pay strict attention. Then he says, "Stand fast." The phrase there literally means be stationary. He says, "In." That's the location. The faith. The system of religion, not your faith, but the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints, Jude 3. Then he says, be brave, according to the New King James Version, but I like the King James Version. Quit ye like men. The word there, or phrase there, literally means show yourself as a man. When we consider this particular verse, I would venture to say that Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, reaches back to the time of the Philistines when the Ark of the Covenant had been with the children of Israel. And it was a great noise during that particular time, and the Philistines heard it. And the Philistine ruler, the army, the commander, the captain, said to his men, he told them to quit ye, be men, be strong. When we consider the word strong or the phrase be strong, it literally means succeeding because of sound reasoning. Succeeding because of sound reasoning and conviction of evidence. Friends, if we're going to be strong, it's not going to be because of our robust training in the gym or our work in the hood. It's going to be because of the Word of God. It's going to be because of the Word of God rightly divided. It's going to be because of the Word of God and its conviction in the hearts of men. I want us to take a little perusal through the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament we find those things that are written for our learning. And as the people of God, we must be strong. I venture to say, from this point forward, whether preaching here or preaching elsewhere, I'm going to take my time and make sure that people understand exactly what I'm saying. We have many preachers that they get up and preach, and you don't know what they have said after they didn't got through. No, sir. No, ma'am. We need to know exactly what God's word has to say. It's a time right now for men of God to stand flat-footed on the word of God. For the word of God does not change. Friends, those who change the word of God are going to find themselves in great trouble with the Lord. We want to make sure that we find ourselves with the word of God, because that's where the strength is. The strength is not in the wisdom of words, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2. The strength is not in how one can articulate those words, but the strength is in the Word of God itself. Number one, I want us to consider Numbers chapter 25. And the reason why is because during this particular time, the world that we live in, people are paying attention, at least they should be, to their morality. What type of people are they? In relation to the Word of God, the standard that God has left us, we understand that it's going to be the Word of God that's going to judge us in that last day. That we're going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer. Here, when we understand Christians ought to be people who are willing to destroy immorality. Friends, these particular times ought to wake us up to the type of life that we're living. Really, I'm not talking to those of us who are meeting here. I venture to say that you're striving really hard to do what God says. But I know that there are some who are listening that may need this encouragement and need to send it to someone who is not. Friends, when we consider the time of Israel, 2 years after the Exodus, if you will, the children of God had received instruction from God. God had them to set up the tabernacle in which he would be in the midst of his people. He would have his people on the north side, the west side, the south side, and the east side. The east side being the main gate. Here we understand that God was going to be before his people. In Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Here, the people of God had gotten so far away from God in just 2.5-3 years, Brother Royce. It didn't take them long to get away from God. To the point that they started committing harlotry with the women of Moab. Even to the point that they were offering sacrifices to their God, verse 2. The anger of the Lord was kindled, verse 3. We understand that because of the anger of the Lord, God was ready to take action upon his people. Here we understand from verses 5 through verse number 13. God is ready now to take action. But unfortunately, there was a child of Israel, who came and he presented a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and the brethren, and in the sight of all of the congregation. Keep in mind that they were offering harlotry to the gods of Moab, if you will, and the gods of Baal. Here we see that they presented this particular woman to Moses and to the children of Israel. And there was a man by the name of, now listen to this, friends, by the name of Phinehas. This man here took a javelin and he ran from the midst of the congregation, and he went and he destroyed those two individuals. And it caused me to think. This week we was talking to Brother Chad Shirtle, Evelyn and I, and we was talking about how men are not really being men today. We have more women who are being more like men than we have men being men, standing up and being strong. I'm not talking about lifting weights, but I'm talking about being strong in the mind. God's people must be strong in mind right now. And the reason why is because there are so many things against the people of God. We have to have our spiritual eyes open. I understand that the governor has said a few things and the mayor has said a few things, but friends, have your eyes open to what's going on around you. We stop and we consider the immorality that's even in the life of others. Here, we see that Phinehas didn't have to get rid of the immorality that was in his life. He got rid of the immorality that was in the life of someone else. Friends, we have a responsibility that when we see immorality, whether it's on a small level or a large level, someone has to man up and say something. Someone has to say something, whether it is in the Lord's, among the Lord's people or outside of the Lord's people. Yes, we speak the truth in love, but we have to make sure that we stand up, no doubt. And so it caused me to think about what God said about this. There would be who would say, even today, if they saw Phinehas to take a javelin and to kill someone off because they are defiling the people of God and defiling the tabernacle and defiling God's name, they would say, that's too much. You shouldn't do that. But notice what God had to say about it. In verse number 10, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my back. Turn back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give him my covenant of peace. Notice what happens when men stand up and do what God says. When we as children of God stand up and do what God says in the midst of any pandemic, in the midst of any restrictions, in the midst of anything going on, friends, we need to stand up so we can have the covenant of peace in our lives with God. And it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for God. Phinehas, is too much for you to be zealous for God. Not when God says it's okay. God says it's all right to be zealous. Friends, when we stop and we consider this here, Phinehas was zealous for God, and notice, and made atonement for the children of Israel. Friends, we consider these things. We need more Phinehases even today. We don't have enough Phinehases. We have too many men who are afraid of everything. Let us not be afraid. Let us not be fearful. Let us stand up and stand flat-footed upon the word of God. Let us be as men in our homes. Stand up for your wives. Stand up for your children. Teach them the word of God. I love what Brother Chad Shirtle just said a few minutes ago. He had his Bible study with his children, teaching them about Goliath. That's a real man right there. Not teaching your children to commit immorality, but teach them that they can stand up against immorality on any level in their lives. So, Brother Chad, thank you for being a man of God. We need more Phinehases in our lives. Number two, Deuteronomy 13. In Deuteronomy 13, put your seatbelts on. This one here might get me fired. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, we understand that God's people have to be a people that must learn how to ascertain truth. They must come to the knowledge of the truth. And the reason why? Because you're always going to have those who are going to try to entice you to do something that God didn't say. You got to be careful. This is why we have to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil, Ephesians 5 and verse 15. In verse number 5, notice what your Bible there says. Verse number 5. Here, the Bible teaches us that there was a brother who tried to entice the people of God, his own brother, if you will. You look at verse number 6, he says, if your brother, the son of your mother, your son of your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend, who is your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your father have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. You shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him.
nor shall you spare him or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him, and put him to death, and afterward his, the hand of all the people. You stop and you consider these things, friends. Here, the people of God had to be warned. I remember when Brother Brent Stubblefield came a few months ago, and he said that we even have to watch one another. Make sure that we're staying on track with the word of God. For all of us are going to stand before God. Friends, we have to be careful. I love Brother Brian, but Brother Brian has to stay with the word. Brother Brian loves me, but I better stay with the word of God. And if I get off, Brother Brian ought to say something. We stop and we consider this. And notice what he says in verse 12 and 13. There is a way to ascertain truth. He says, if you hear someone in your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, corrupt men have gone out from among you, and entice the inhabitants of the city, saying, let us go and serve other gods. Now stop real quick, friends. Real men, Christians, we have to be careful. I don't care who says what. I don't care where he lives in the United States of America. If what they're saying is not in line with the word of God, you leave them alone. And the reason why is because the word of God is the truth. Let God be true. And every man a liar, Romans 4, 3 and verse number 4. But notice verse number 14. Then you shall inquire. Notice how you ought to ascertain truth. Then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently. I was just talking to brother and sister. I can't remember. My mind going so fast right now. Let me slow it down real quick. Yeah. I was just talking to a brother and sister, and they were saying, we need to be very diligent right now. This is a time to be very diligent. Friends, do you understand the beauty of being in a lockdown right now? That you can actually learn how to discipline yourself from this point forward? That you can slow down just a little bit and be able to listen to what God's word is actually saying? This is a perfect opportunity for us to stop and think, and to cause ourselves to be walking straight on the straight and narrow path. And so notice, and if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of the city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it, so forth and so on. And so it caused me to think about some things that we as Christians must be willing to investigate diligently. It was Sister Ebony. That's who it was. And so it caused me to think about Acts 17 and verse number 30 and John 5 and verse number 39 to search the scriptures to make sure that whatever what Paul is saying is true. Acts 17 and verse number 30. But even in the secular realm, and as I was pondering this, it caused me to think about even those of us who don't understand our constitutional rights. Friends, we have rights. And you know what? It's all right for us to lean upon our constitutional rights. Oh, I got Bible for that, just in case you want to pull on it. Go to Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 22, we come across a man by the name of Paul. And you remember him being a Roman citizen. And he was being mistreated while being under the Roman law. Starting at verse 22, and they listened to him unto this word, and then they raised his voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging, so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion, now watch this, who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? Now think about that. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care of what you do, for this man is a Roman. Then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yea. The commander answered, with a large sum, I've obtained this citizenship. Paul said, I'm freeborn. Hold on. As I was pondering this, I thought about William Barr, who is the Attorney General for the United States of America. And I love what he said a few days ago, Brother Royce. He said, if lawsuits go up against the governors of these states, I'm going to side with the plaintiff. I've thought about that. You know, as American citizens, our citizenship is in heaven, no doubt. But friends, make no mistake about it. As Americans, we do have a right to worship the God of heaven. We do have a right to praise God with all of our being. And I thank God that we have a governor in Texas that allows us to do that. And so we need to be very thankful. But we got some brethren that are under those very strict guidelines to the point that they can't even go worship, friends. And that's not right. God deserves to be worshiped. He deserves to be praised. Now, if y'all want to call me in the office on that, you go right ahead and you do that. Notice the book of 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel, chapter 23, I'm going to leave you with this one. But God's people, especially his men, must be men that are willing to stand up and go through the garrison. Go through the stronghold, if you will. What do we mean by that? In 2 Samuel chapter 23, David had what we know as mighty men. There are a few men in all of our lives, a few people in all of our lives that we can rely upon. We know we can rely upon them. They won't run when we really need them. Well, David had a few of those. He had 30 mighty men. Let me say this. If you get some strong Christian brethren that you know are there for you, don't run them off. Keep them close. Why? Because they're far few and in between. Even Jesus knew that. He only had 12, and then he called two more. But friends, we need to keep those who want to be faithful to God close. But notice, friends, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 through verse number 17. Here, these men were willing to break through the garrison. They were willing to break through the standing place. They were willing to do something very powerful. There was a war, if you will, that was going to be breaking out. And here we see in verse number 9 and 10 that Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Hoahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, notice, and the men of Israel retreated. Let us not be those who retreat. Let us run toward the fight. Because in following Jesus, at times, following Jesus would lead us straight into the fight. In verse number 10, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. Now, notice this particular guy here. His hand was weary, and through the fighting, his hand stuck to the sword. Oh, our hands ought to stick to the sword. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Our hands ought to be sticking to the word of God. It ought to stick to that which is in our hands, the word of God. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together, now listen to this, into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. But notice what this man did, Brother Royce. He stationed himself in the middle of the field. Oh, we need more men like that, who are willing to station themselves in their home. Don't run off on your wives. Don't run away from your children. Stay home and station yourself. We as elders need to stay home and station ourselves. Preachers need to stay home and station themselves. Well, where is our station? In Christ, in the Word of God. So this particular man here, he went to the middle of the field and he defended it and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Friends, we stand up even if we have to stand by ourselves.
So what if someone folds their arms and looks at us with a mean look? They got to come with the word of God. And friends, we can do this. I know we can because we're God's people. Then notice verse number 13 through 17. Friends, are you willing to break through garrisons? Are you willing to do what God will have you to do? Notice what these Philistines did. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines. Now notice where the garrison of the Philistines was. It was in Bethlehem. It had no business being in Bethlehem. That's God's country. That's God's people. That's the city of David, if you will. It shouldn't have been there. And so notice what these three men did, friends. And we need more men like this. We need more Christians like this. All of us need to get stronger in the Lord. And David said with longing, oh, that someone would give me a drink of water, of the waters from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Now, one thing I love about this is that David didn't tell them to go get me some water. He just said, oh, that I would have some water from the pools of Bethlehem. And these three mighty men, because of their loyalty to David, friends, they went and they broke down the garrison and went and fetched him some water and brought it back to David. Oh, when we hear our king say something in his word, he shouldn't have to beg us to go do it. We ought to go through the garrisons. They don't belong in the church. False teachers don't belong in the church. We got to root them out. We got to get rid of them. False doctrine don't belong in your home. Pornography don't belong in your home. Drugs don't belong in your home. Drinking doesn't belong in your home. Another person don't belong in your home. You need to root it out. Friends, these men here were mighty men. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out on the Lord, out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. In this, is this not the blood of the men who went? Now notice this, friends, who went in jeopardy of their lives. Therefore, he would not drink it. I thought about that. These men were willing to put their lives in jeopardy. They didn't see their lives as being important. They saw their loyalty to David, their king, more important than their own lives. And David recognized that. And so it caused me to think about the Apostle Paul. And I mimic my life after this. I hope you will mimic yours. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, I believe some, even in the church, love their life too much. Friends, our life is Christ, Colossians 3. And Paul knew that. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, Paul says this, but none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So many people want to be strong. But friends, true strength is with God. I was looking at something a few years back, and it was a bodybuilder, and his body began to break down to the point that, if I could say it this way, he began to shrivel up. And there was nothing that he could do about it. All those years, Sister Evelyn, of working out, eating right. And when his body began to fight against itself and shrivel up, he had nothing. Oh, but when the word of God is in our hearts, this body, it may break down. It may
get full of arthritis and even cancer. But I learned something, that our citizenship is in heaven. And we need to be reminded of that. John would say that we don't know what we're going to be as, but we're going to be as he is. 1 John 3, first three verses. And everyone that has this hope within him purifies himself even as he himself is pure. But none of these things move me. Friends, we got to be strong. So our strength ought to cause us to be willing to do some things for the Lord that we probably normally wouldn't do. I know it's a challenge for us to be doing what we're doing right now. But let me say this. As members of the Lord's church here at 9th and Main, y'all have done a great job, and we appreciate that. And our change is coming. We're waiting on that change. So we're going to stick together. But be willing. Be willing, friends, to do whatever you need to do to please the Lord at all cost. Because just as God took care of those three mighty men, and just as God took care of Phinehas, and just as God will take care of us, we'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." That's what we want to hear. To not hear those words is a wasted life. But for those of us who are faithful, keep being faithful. For those of us who are not faithful, let's get faithful now. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Right now. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be strong, but your strength has to be in Christ. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where it is. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Being willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Don't put baptism off. Don't put it off, because that's how you come in contact with the blood of Christ. That's how you become a member of the church of Christ. Friends, don't put it off. Be faithful, and God will do something amazing in your life. He'll give you the crown of life. Or maybe you're a child of God, and you need special prayer. You haven't been strong. Or maybe you have a pseudo strength. You know, many have a pseudo strength. They just think they're strong. I've been there before. You need good people around you to tell you, you need to look at that. You need to get strong, and that's okay. Because we're all in this together. Proverbs 27 and 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Friends, let's be thinking about that as we sing the Savior's invitation.